Thank you, ladies. Turn with me, if you will, in your Bibles to Luke chapter 7, starting with verse 1. Luke chapter 7, starting with verse 1. Now, when he had concluded all his sayings in the hearing of all the people, Jesus entered Capernaum. And a certain centurion's servant, who was dear to him, was sick and ready to die. So when he heard about Jesus, he sent elders of the Jews to him, pleading with him to come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they begged him earnestly, saying that the one for whom he should do this was deserving, for he loves our nation and has built us a synagogue. Then Jesus went with them. And when he was already not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying to him, Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof. Therefore, I did not even think myself worthy to come to you. But say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man placed under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to one, go, and he goes. And to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned around and said to the crowd that followed him, I say to you, I have not found such great faith even in Israel. And those who were sent returning to the house found the servant well who had been sick. Let's pray together for a moment. Lord, as we are joined together in this holiday season, trying to go back to the original purpose of holidays, which is to seek your face and to do an assessment of our relationship to you, that we may draw nearer to you, that we may understand you better, that we may partake of your holiness in this holiday season. Help us to understand and be in search of true authority in our lives, to know what it means to submit to that authority and to seek your face. In Jesus' name, amen. In search of authority, that's the last thing some of you may want to be in search of today. It's what all of us need and none of us want. Authority, as you see, is something that provides us a target to aspire to, a code to live by, examples to follow. Authority gives us boundaries within which to live. All of us need it, but at least at some point in all of our lives, none of us want it. It's the dark side of freedom, if you will, that desire to have no authority whatsoever, to be answerable to no one, to have no boundaries, no limits set upon us, no rules, no regulations, no one who can say to us, as the centurion was able to say to his soldiers, you go there, you do this, you do that. Who in here likes to be told what to do? And don't raise your hands that you do. I know you better than that. At some point in our lives, most of us reject authority. We want to be our own authority. We want to be the one who makes all the decisions, is in total charge of our lives. This most often happens in the teenage years, but it can happen at any time. See, during our teenage years, it's very important that a sense of our own independent identity be established. And so it's hardwired into us as we mature to begin to break away, to need to break away and become our own person. If that doesn't happen, that's tragic. You never can become a full adult until you become your own person. And part of that very often manifests itself as rejection of authority and rebellion. For example, there was the great Honors English Rebellion of 1972. Maybe you haven't heard of that. But in 1972, I was a senior in high school, and I was in the upper levels of my class. Everybody above a certain level was in the same honors English class. And one day, our teacher was ill, and she was not able to come and teach. We loved our teacher. Mrs. Roloffs was her name. She was a glorious teacher. Some of you are teachers, and I happen to know some of you are glorious teachers too, but Ms. Roloffs was great. Well, she wasn't there that day, and in the place of that wonderful woman was someone we had never seen before, someone we had never met before, someone who said, sit down and read this and be quiet. We're all pretty fast readers, so we were done with that in the first 10 minutes. We were 17 and 18 years old, and we were looking around for something else to do, and we started to talk to each other a little bit. Shut up! Be quiet! We felt like some tyrant had come into our midst. Now, this was one of those classes, and I was particularly reminded of this story because I was at Noonan High School this week, and in one of the classes I was in, the bell rang three times. And the first time it rang, I went, stopped, and they went, oh, that's not for us. Second time rang, stopped again. No, that's not for us. It's lunch bells or something like that, maybe. I don't know. Well, this class had one of those bells about two-thirds of the way through it that wasn't for us, that we were supposed to ignore. But it was as if we all understood in one moment, this person doesn't know that. And when that bell rung, as one, 30 of the top students in Roswell High School senior class stood up and left the room and did not come back. We all went to the library, went somewhere else, somewhere where the tyrant was not. And so later that day was the very strange and one-time-only occurrence of the principal coming on to the PA system and naming everybody in the honors senior class, will you please come to my office? And he was in a bit of a quandary because he didn't want to suspend all of us for 3 days, which was the punishment. We explained where we were coming from. Mrs. Roloffs was not there. You sent Idi Amin to be in her place. And we just couldn't take it anymore. Well, he was a wise man. He knew we needed to be punished, but he really didn't want to suspend us for 3 days. So he said, okay, you have a choice. You can be suspended for 3 days, or you can go out this afternoon into the parking lot and stay there until every last piece of trash is picked up. And we opted for that. It was our big rebellion. And most of us still remember it to this day. But you know, authority is important. Authority is something that we need to understand and engage with. So let's do that for a minute. Let's talk about what authority is. Authority is the power or the right to give orders, make decisions, and enforce obedience. We, the rebellious class of 72, acknowledged the authority of our principal, but did not acknowledge the authority of Idi Amin. And that was where our problem came in. But you know, we need to understand more about what authority is, and you can do that by doing a little bit of a word study. It's pretty easy to see that within the word of authority is the word author. And there's a reason for that, because the root word, the Latin word, that these two words and all of the other words we're going to look at for a moment come from the same place and have the same basic meaning. An author, as you know, is the author or originator or creator of something. It's the person who wrote that book or spoke that poem or sang that song for the very first time. The author is the originator, and authority, ultimate authority, comes out of being the originator of something. There's a related word, authentic. You don't think about that as being in the same family of words as authority and author, but it is. Authentic means genuine, the real thing, at the root. Authority needs to come from the creative source, and authority needs to be the real thing. But there's one other related word we need to look at as well, and that is authorize. Authorize means to give permission or approval. And it's as we think of these four words together, we can begin to understand what authority is. Authority is not something that is to be fought against or rebelled against or even to submit to unthinkingly and uncritically, but authority is that which truly and really emanates from a point of origin or creation, is real and genuine. The one in authority is the real thing. And the one in authority is authorized if he or she is not the actual author of the situation. Then this person has been authorized by the author to wield authority. With those things in mind, we can get a larger picture of what authority means. And here's the truth. We need to be under authority. Children need to be under authority. Even though plenty of children just want to run and do whatever they want to do and go wherever their feet take them. It was interesting, our Sunday school class that I'm a part of kind of overlapped a little bit with this in the study we're doing in Ephesians. And the question came up, you know, why is it that every parent, I mean, when I became a parent, I swore that there would be one thing I would never say. Never. I would never say this because I hated it when my parents said this. I would never say, because I said so. Any of you make a commitment like that? Did any of you keep it? No. Because you very quickly find out when children are very small that they're not able to understand the explanation about why we do or do not do certain things. They're just not ready to understand. They're not equipped to understand. And so you have to exercise your authority, which as a parent, you have to your children under God. You have to exercise your authority and say, you must do this, you must obey because I said so. You have to rely on my authority. You have to trust me. Children need to be under authority. If they are not under authority, then they are in danger. We have an obligation to properly exercise authority over children so that they can learn right from wrong, so they can learn danger, so that they can learn what they need to do and what they need not to do, so that they can begin to have that foundation that every human being needs to grow up into the person God intends for him or her to be. Children need authority. And most people wouldn't argue with me about that because they're not here, they're in the children's worship service. I get into more treacherous ground when I then say, teenagers and young adults need authority. Don't hate me. But it's true. Yes, you have now learned right from wrong. Yes, you know good from bad. Yes, you have a better understanding than a child does of what is dangerous and what is not. But here's the thing about people from birth to their early to mid-20s. See, here is the human brain. It has many components, but the one I really want to focus on is that frontal lobe right there. That frontal lobe of your brain is where you do all your decision-making, where you work things out in your mind, what you will and what you won't do, what is a good idea and what's a bad idea. This is your brain between the age of birth and 20 to 25. You're not fully connected to your frontal lobe yet. This has now been demonstrated scientifically that the neuron connections between the decision-making part of your brain and the rest of your brain are not fully connected till sometimes between the age of 20 and 25. This is why, and now I understand it, this is why I did stupid things when I was a teenager. I did some stupid things. I once was mountain climbing and got to the top of the mountain and looked on the other side and saw this, what seemed to be a smooth slope going down, covered in leaves. And I said to myself, world's biggest slide. I should slide down this on my behind. And I sat down and I pushed off and down I went. And for the first, quarter of a mile or so, it was great. I mean, I was kicking up a rooster tail of leaves going from my heel up over my head. Down I was going. And then all of a sudden, I just happened to notice that there was a tree up ahead. No problem, I skier around that. But wait a minute, that tree looks like it's starting in the middle of its trunk. There's a cliff. And I put on the brakes. I jammed my arms down into the turf behind me and tried to slow down. And I didn't slow down enough. And I went over the cliff about 15 feet. And God had mercy on me because there were rocks to the left and boulders to the right. And I went down the middle. And I got bruised and battered, but I didn't get broken. Would I do that at age 65? Probably not. At least some of it is because my brain is now connected. Youth need to be under authority because you're not quite there yet. And I know it's frustrating, but there's a reason why. Especially as long as you are under the roof of your parents, you are under the support of your parents, you are under their authority, and that's as it should be, as God would have it be. Go back and read Ephesians 6 and find some of that. But here's the rest of the story. Adults need it too. Adults need authority at any age. We never, as human beings, become so completely understanding of what we should and should not do that we no longer need authority. If you are your own authority, you're in trouble, most likely. Because I don't care who you are, how much you've been through, how much you've seen, how much education you have, how much life experience you have, you are not equipped for any and every circumstance that you may run across. You need authority in your life to help fill in those gaps that we always have. We never outgrow the need for authority because we never get to a point that we understand things the way God understands them. The challenge is to find a worthy authority to put yourself under. And that can be a challenge. Because there are all kinds of people out there ready to be an authority in your life. Ready to tell you what to do. Ready to tell you how to do it. And some of those people are wolves in sheep's clothing. There are wolves of sheep's clothing among church leadership. There are wolves in sheep's clothing among political leadership. There are wolves in sheep's clothing in our communities and in our workplaces and so on. And anyone who exercises authority over you could be such a wolf. You need to be careful under whose authority you put yourself. You see, the wolves are not authorized. The wolves are not genuine. They're not the real thing. The wolves are not connected to the originator. You can look out on the religious field. There's so many other ways to live your life and things to believe other than Christianity. there's some wolves in sheep clothing out there, representing themselves to be something they're not. Jesus warned against these. Many would come along saying, I am the Christ, or he's over there, or he's over there. Follow me. I will show you how. Don't worry about what the Bible says. Let me tell you what the Bible says. Don't go look for yourself. I would like for you to be allergic to anybody who sets himself or herself up to be a higher authority than the Word of God. Big red flag. Always check out everything any preacher says, including me. Because I am trying to operate under God's authority. Everything that I say hopefully is passing from God through me to you, but because I'm an imperfect person, I will mess up sometimes. That's why you need to have the Word in your own hands and in your own heart to check up on what I say. For the Holy Spirit within you to legitimize that, because you know, now we're starting to talk about the originator, the author and finisher of our faith, also the author of everything that is. We're going to talk about what the ultimate source of authority is. It's no human being, is it? The ultimate source of authority is God. He is the author. He is the real thing. He is the one who authorizes. But any authority any person has, if it's the real thing and legitimate, is only through God. So we need to always look past the immediate authority and see who the ultimate authority is. If the ultimate authority in that person's line is someone other than God Almighty, walk away. Because that's not an authority that you want to be under. There's only one authority. Jesus in Matthew 28, right before his ascension into heaven, starting with verse 18, speaks to those who are assembled there, and he says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Now that word all in the original Greek means all, not some, not most. It means exactly the same thing as the word we use. All is all. He is the ultimate source of authority. He is the ultimate target to aspire toward. He is the ultimate code to live by. He is the ultimate example to follow. He is the ultimate setter of our boundaries. He is the authority. And his authority is the authority that you and I should be living under. His and none other. Jesus said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples, tell everybody in all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. That's one of my favorite promises. If Jesus is our ultimate authority, it is such a comforting thing to know that he is always with us as well. Have you ever been in a situation where you had a person that you really relied upon for some particular thing? I don't know what it was. Maybe it was this person was really good at working on cars. And so you always called this person when you had to work on your car. You wanted him to be right there with you while you were working on the car because he was your authority. If you weren't sure about what went where or what might need to be done, he'd be right there to help you. But then one day your car breaks down and he's not available. This is a story that I have lived. I didn't fix it nearly as well as I would have if he'd have been there. I didn't fix it at all. I broke it some more, okay? Because my authority wasn't there. I fried the generator because my authority wasn't there. I had to go out and spend more money at the auto supply place. They love me over there. Sometimes I'll buy three of the same thing. Because I'm going to mess up the first two. my authority had been there, I'd have been okay. See, Jesus says, I will never leave you or forsake you. Your authority will always be with you if Jesus is your authority. Now, the centurion recognized this, and he verbalized it before anybody else did. How is that? How is it that this Gentile, this Roman, this oppressor of God's people, how is it that he recognized who Jesus was? Well, for one thing, it was obvious from the love that the local Jews had for him that he, at least as an individual, was no oppressor of God's people. He was the one who helped them, who helped build their synagogue, who obviously expressed love toward them. He's a different kind of centurion. But still, he was a Gentile. He was not trained in the things of God Almighty. How is it that he recognized who Jesus was? Because he was a man who understood authority. He recognized what authority is. Until you recognize what authority is and what positive function it has in your life, you cannot really fully be engaged in a relationship with God, because he is in a relationship of authority with you. He's not just your buddy. He's not just your friend. He's not just your savior, as in my free ticket out of hell. He is our authority because heaven is a journey, and he wants to prepare us for that destination. And he's the one who's been there and knows how to get there. He's the one who knows the way. Until you recognize that you need an authority, you'll never have a fully realized relationship with God. Because until you recognize that his authority is supreme in your life, you will find yourself rebelling against him, taking that option. Once we recognize, as the centurion recognized, that authority is authority and not to be questioned, not to be negated, then we can begin to become obedient under that authority, to learn under that authority. Paul says an interesting thing in 1 Corinthians 12:3, when he says, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Of course, Lord is the word for authority. Your Lord is your master. Your Lord is your king. No one can say Jesus is Lord and really mean it and know what it means except by the Holy Spirit, except by that indwelling presence of God in your life. Now, anybody can say the words, but they won't know what the words mean. They can't apply the words into their lives. Living under the authority of God is a marker of your relationship, your real relationship with God, because that authority trickles down to you. The author is now in charge of his creation. And the relationship is genuine, authentic. And the way that you are living your life before God is authorized by him. He has signed off on your life if you're living in the middle of his will for your life. You are in right relationship with God if you see yourself as under his authority. So what did the centurion do? Since he had this knowledge of what authority was, he trusted Jesus' authority. He trusted that Jesus would do the right thing that he needed to do and wanted to do right then, to heal the servant that was sick. He put himself under Jesus' authority, so that I believe that if the centurion had not gotten the healing of his beloved servant, he would have still recognized Jesus' authority. I remember when I was a child, I really, really wanted to do something. I wanted to have a certain outcome. And my parents said no. And I couldn't understand it, but later on I saw that it was for a better purpose than I could understand at that time. If you are truly under the authority of God, and you don't have things turn out the way you wanted them to turn out when you pray, when you seek the Lord, You don't go, well, God, you didn't answer my prayer. I'm never speaking to you again. You say, I'm under your authority, Lord, and I don't understand this, but I accept it. Because you know better than I. I'm under your authority. He surrendered the outcome, you see, into Jesus' hands, which is the safest place for every outcome to be. Jesus then gave him one of the highest accolades recorded in the Gospels. Nobody gets a higher compliment in all of the New Testament than this centurion gets, this Roman, this Gentile. Jesus is amazed. And he says, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in all of Israel. I've never seen anybody who's willing to trust me and believe in me and put his faith in me like this centurion who I haven't even met yet and who hasn't met me in the flesh yet. He is stunned in a wonderfully good way by the faith of this man and his understanding of the relationship. What's your understanding of your relationship with God today? Can you genuinely say that you are under his authority? Are you willing to go where he sends you, to hold back from where he doesn't want you to go? Are you willing to listen when he speaks? Are you willing to be the person he created you to be? Are you going to do what we so often do and just kind of fight him every step of the way, as if we knew better? Is God your ultimate authority? Is he the author and finisher of your faith? Is he the one that you see is the ultimate in authenticity? Is he the one who authorizes your life? It's important to live under God's authority if you call yourself God's child. Because remember, children need authority. And we're all God's children if we belong to him through Jesus. Let's pray together.